Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Whoa, 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 hold up, whoa, what?
What?
what's up with just the mustache, man? Where's everything else?
Usually when I get like sick like I did last week, it causes me to shave.
Okay.
Hold on, I need to pick my camera.
Okay. What? That was kind of a crazy way to start.
There we go. That should be better.
Oh yeah, better.
What's up, man? Feeling better?
I'm congested a bit, but yeah, better. It is what it is at this point.
I know a little bit what you mean about like when you get sick, facial hair being annoying because not dropping into the mustache and stuff like that. But I don't know, man. I don't think I could forgo this anymore. I do once I lose a little bit of weight, want to take the beard down shorter, but not like not super short. Still enough that it's fully covering the face, but or the skin, whatever. Anyways,
all I can say is I regret everything.
You regret everything. Nice. Well, I don't regret starting the show. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Daily Cog here on the Genreverse Podcast Network and Genreverse YouTube channel. Follow us on your favorite podcast app. Subscribe to the YouTube channel if you're watching us, and welcome to Monday. I hope everyone had a good Easter break, whether you're into egg laying bunnies, resurrected saviors, or you don't give a crap. Maybe you just had a decent weekend. Hope it was good. Maybe as good as the Mario Brothers movie box office was over the weekend. We'll get to that in a bit. There's lots of great content here on the podcast network and YouTube channel. Anime reactions and reviews, Star Wars content, Marvel content, general geek and pop culture, entertainment content. Everything you need all in one spot. I'm Kyle, that's Manny. And I forgot to even start my timestamps. it was a big weekend. You had, of course, I mentioned Super Mario Brothers came out last week. You also have the Star Wars Celebration news. But actually, Manny, before we even get there, we have to watch a trailer. It literally just hit about an hour ago. I sent you the link in Slack. If you can pull it up, so that way we can. No, I didn't. I sent it to everyone in Slack. Oh, you dropped your headphones.
I forgot I'd even have them on.
Oh, geez. Well, hey, the sound canceling thing was doing pretty decent job. But yeah, pop in the headphones. Grab the link out of Slack. The Star Wars Visions Volume 2 trailer has hit. And I'm super stoked to check that out. Let me know when you're set, Manny, and I will be able to start this for all of us. And we can do a live reaction. Well, it's not live, like broadcasting, but real-time reaction to Star Wars Visions Volume 2.
All right. Now that I've gotten rid of all these ads. All right, I am...
You're set. All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay.
So some CGI stuff. I'm interested in seeing some. Oh no, like maybe some sort of blended thing. Nice. I've always appreciated a good lightsaber floor drag.
Wait a minute.
I like it.
Everyone has an. I think I got the wrong one.
You think you got the wrong one?
Yeah, because I have a guy talking.
I gave you the link in Slack, man.
Yeah. Let me see if I open it again. Okay.
It's Star Wars Visions Volume 2 official trailer.
Yeah, how it switched over, I have no idea. Okay, now here we go. This is the real one. Just, yeah, whatever.
All right, I'll start over again. People saw 30 seconds of mine. I've done it before. So you ready? 3, 2, 1, go. Manny messing things up.
I don't know how that happened.
I don't know. I like the lightsaber.
The lightsaber drag, yeah. It looks more like a traditional sword.
Yeah, like a knight's sword or something. Yeah.
Ooh, okay. So they're learning from Sony.
Ooh, look at that. It's like a stop motion CGI.
Oh, that's right. It's Visions. We're gonna get different styles.
All sorts of, yeah. Just keep going. There's the one I won't care about. No, I'm joking. No need to fear. There are others like you. I saw it myself. She has special powers. Can you get your porta potty off the starting line? She's a total. Exactly. I know a lot of people are looking forward to that studio.
Yeah, oh heck yes, I am.
Wallace and Gromit.
Whoa, that looks good. It's showtime.
I love a lot of these aesthetics, man. I'm not gonna lie, I really do.
As long as they have the right stories, paired up together.
It does seem like. It does seem there might be a couple more kid, kid-like ones, but that's just from a teaser trailer, so don't know for sure.
Yeah, let's be real. Right now, Star Wars doesn't have a lot of kid-friendly things.
Star Wars has nothing but. I like that. And I like the music for all of this too. Wow. Choose where our calling takes us. Oh, ho, ho, ho. Or not to answer. Dude. May 4th. May the 4th be with you. That is Star Wars. That is a nice Star Wars Day present right there, man. Visions,
really good.
Visions Volume 2. Man, what do you mean there's not enough kid stuffers? There's nothing but kid stuff. Even the Mandalorian is nothing but kid stuff now.
Yeah,
minus one episode. Book of Boba Fett, kid stuff. Obi-Wan Kenobi, kid stuff. Skeleton Crew coming out, kid stuff. I mean, like, oh my god. I miss the days when the Mandalorian was, you know, accessible for all and not just aimed at people that still think Rebels is peak Star Wars.
Yeah, last week when I watched The Mandalorian, I was already sick and I was like, wait a minute, am I having a fever dream? Like, what's happening right now? I don't understand.
Visions looks good though. Before we go down that rabbit hole. Of Star Wars, Visions Volume 2 looked amazing. I'm going to watch that again and again. And one of the things that I've stood by for Visions Volume 1 is I highly suggest everyone watch it both dubbed and subbed. And the if you watch it subbed, especially Tatooine Rhapsody, the one with the band, that one becomes way better. Because localizing music, localizing lyrics, changing the vocals in a song completely changes the way a song feels and sounds, because vocals are part of instruments, part of the way songs are written. So when you change that, it really does affect the song, which made Tatooine Rhapsody very, very kind of cringy. If you go listen to it in Japanese and just read the words instead, it makes that one so much better. This had all English dub, but we're getting from studios all over the world, so I'm really hoping that I don't have to play, like, I don't have to switch the audio for each, you know, like, I shouldn't have to search for the Portuguese if there's a Portuguese Portuguese lesson or Portuguese audio. I hope they do this to where there's like a subtitled version that goes through each language used from, you know, that language from that studio, the original. That's what I'm hoping for. But yeah, man, what else did you think about it?
I just like the different animation styles. It seems a little bit more broader than the first one was.
Well, the first one was all anime, so all Japanese anime studios. Yeah. So
I love Wallace and Gromit, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So to see that we're getting like a claymation animation is exciting. I saw something that was more like the modern day animation that DreamWorks and Sony are using now, which is nice. And some then everything in between, stuff, yeah,
some puppetry looking things, not the Wallace and Gromit one, but like the felt puppet looking one. And like I said, some of the aesthetics kind of look like it might be more childish than say Visions was. And when I say childish, I'm not saying like 5 year olds. I'm saying like the stories themselves are aimed more at a younger audience. Not that older people can't enjoy it, but it's a little bit different when you see, say, Lope and Ocho from Volume 1 compared to Tatooine Rhapsody. This looks like more Tatooine Rhapsody, less Village Bride, Lope and Ocho, less Ninth Jedi, you know. But that's just on teaser trailer. The one that they start with and with the female versus the Sith, and she's got the cool yellow blade and he's got the big, you know, freaking like knight sword. That one looks really, really cool to me. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
If Studio Ghibli's shown us anything, it's that kids' stories could be transcendent for all.
They absolutely can. They can, as long as they aren't just as long as that's what they are from the get go. You know, you mentioned the Mandalorian. I've been complaining about it on a few shows, including the Cantina. Check out our Mandalorian reviews, and our extensive recap of Celebration 2023 Cam and I did yesterday. But I've been saying that, you know, season 3 for Mandalorian has been so cartoony, so childish, so campy, so not what it started out to be. And I know some people are like, well, it's meant to be campy now, or you know, this is meant to be silly. And it's like, but that's not what Mando started as. If this had been the tone Mando was since the beginning, I wouldn't be complaining, probably because I wouldn't have been watching it, because it wouldn't have appealed to me. I wouldn't have hated on it. I don't hate on Rebels or Clone Wars. I hate on some of the fandom groups of that, but I don't hate on them themselves. They weren't meant for me, and I didn't have a kid young enough to watch them with when they came out, so I never got into them. That's fine. But the Mandalorian never started out like this. Season, I don't get me wrong, there are some bits and pieces where there's some campiness and cartooniness that I felt went too far, even in season 2 0.5 with the N1 Starfighter. I think that's very, very cartoony. But it wasn't like that. It was a bridge between the fans of the prequel era stuff and the fans of the OT. It was a nice blend. It was mostly kind of OT feeling. And then this season just, it went downhill, man. It's nothing but It's nothing but some of the worst writing, worst technical decisions. Having a Quarren-like species, I don't know if she's actually Quarren or not. I thought they had more face tentacles. She's got a beak and teeth, and yet she's speaking perfect basic with no issues. And then a Mon Cal comes in, and there's this freaking soap opera level dialogue and love scene, and he's speaking perfect basic, no blubber type or blubbery lip type, you know, sounds or anything that differentiates the fact that they are alien, which is something Lucas and company tried to make sure, you know, existed within. I mean, you didn't have every speech. How hard would it have been to have subtitles and having people speak their other native tongues so you can avoid stupid stuff like that people like me pick up on? And God, it pisses me off, man.
It's a roller coaster.
And Celebration, you know, they mentioned the movies. I'm interested in the one that's about, you know, the Dawn of the Jedi, because it's so far in the past mm-hmm. that we should never hear the name Palpatine or Skywalker, 25,000 years in the past. But the Rey movie, man, I feel bad because it's not like I don't care. And you have to make us care, because if the Rey movie is not a success and it's not a good movie, then you have to skip her completely. And the next time you do something set after the sequel trilogy, you literally have to go to where she's dead. So you need to go a couple hundred years, which means everyone is dead.
And, you know,
I don't know if they could serve. Dude, do you care? Do you really want to go see Rey again?
I mean, I don't like the movies at all. But I do care. I think Daisy Ridley herself, I don't blame her at all for anything.
No, not at all.
So I do believe she deserves another chance.
And there was potential in the character they
squandered. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Definitely there was a lot of potential in the character. But the writing and for as much crap as Disney folks give to Warner Brothers, they're dealing with the same thing with Star Wars that mm-hmm. they did with DC.
Yeah.
That kind of inner fights of who's in charge and let's do this and too many cooks in the kitchen. It really affected that trilogy and everything else that they've done, because everyone was doing their own Star Wars and nothing really came together. Nothing has really come together. The only thing that's really stood is all the Filoni stuff, because, you know, they've really let him have his own playground. And, you know, through the animated series and out through The Mandalorian and Ahsoka going forward, and then the film that's going to tie it all together at the end.
Excuse me.
Like, they really did allow him to tell a story, which has been the most cohesive so far. But now the problem is that you screwed up that trilogy so bad with you know, the different directors, different ideas, different roads, and then no, we're gonna go back, and then we're gonna do this and we're gonna do that, and then at the end he's just undoing everything from the last movie just in time to be done with the third movie. It makes it so that you go into this next movie not with a negative connotation.
Yeah.
And it's an annoying thing, because it's like you're ready to hate it. Like, you're not going in there with an open mind, because they've given you nothing to grasp on as far as trust. The only thing you have is the fact that you do want to see Daisy succeed. Unfortunately she's not in the right hands. And who knows, maybe they've learned something where they're gonna change something, but there's nothing so far that says otherwise, unfortunately. It's still the same people in charge, it's the same people making the decisions, and I mean, what's really gonna change it? I mean, Disney has really not done Star Wars any other favors other than putting out random content. I mean, the best thing that they've put out is probably, I'd say, Andor. Well, of course, the Mandalorian, Andor, and
Mandalorian seasons 1 through 2.
Well, just Mandalorian in general.
threes.
And the movie Rogue One. Thank you. Other than that, it's been what? It's just been a big giant marketing scheme to get you to go to Disneyland or buy things.
It's been mid-tier, and I don't mean mid as in like what people use it today, but it's been mid-tier to poor. That's what it's been. Overall.
I just don't understand how
exclamation points of greatness.
Like, I don't understand how in the 70s and 80s with the tech that they had and the special effects that they had, they were able to tell way better stories than with the absolute amazing technology they have now.
I mean,
like, it's mind-boggling.
That's part of the visual medium. I mean, some people thought that, you know, sound would ruin moving pictures. No, I'm serious, because you would detract from the visuals. And nowadays you worry about the visuals detracting from everything, you know. Movies are very much a multi-sensory situation these days, especially before the pandemic, where, you know, crowd involvement, interaction played into people's enjoyment of a lot of movies, especially the big Marvel, Star Wars, DC and whatnot. But I think it goes to, I mean, they're playing up to what people consume online. Shorter bursts of highly visually stimulating stuff, some periods in between. I mean, it's that oversimplification, but at the cost of everything.
How much did it cost you? Everything.
You know, it's just it's crazy when you look at you know, Endgame and Rise of Skywalker come out in the same year, and you have a you know, here comes everyone from behind to help the bad guys at their very, very last minute in both movies, and you have an I am line in both movies from both the good guys and the bad guys, and you know, reshoots happen, and you just, I don't know, man. Disney's been chasing their tail and trying too hard, and it's really disappointing. And they mention all these movies, and I still don't know if any of them will actually happen. What I do think is interesting, though, is they mentioned, you know, the Rey film's going to be 15 years after the sequel trilogy. No mention of Finn, which is one of the main things people wanted to
see. No, they need to go forward for the next celebration for that, because that'll be their big announcement.
Maybe. I hope so, but I honestly don't think he's coming back. He's pretty much made it clear. He's pretty much made it clear. I would never say never say never, but from everything I know, have read, have heard from crap. His name is out of my brain now. Sorry, the gentleman that plays Finn. He doesn't want to come back, and that does suck. And now it's
John Boyega.
Thank you, John Boyega. Jesus Christ. Yeah, I got a brain injury to blame. So
it's they've created this mess. So
yeah,
you know, whatever. Do I want good Star Wars content? Absolutely. Yeah. I don't know. And you know, it could actually this is a good, well, actually the last thing I'll say about Star Wars Celebration that I noticed this weekend is that besides the one or two couple announcements that they usually make, it's literally the same show.
Yeah.
As it is they bring out, like, cause I noticed it's like they bring out Hayden Christensen and everybody geeks out. And I'm like, did you really like the movie one?
They like the Clone Wars, and they project Clone Wars Anakin onto Hayden. Hayden is not a good actor. The prequels are not well written. The dialogue is awful. I'm sorry to break your freaking worldview, but my God, stop projecting I mean, just stop.
So that's what my thought was. It's like, wait a minute. Do you guys actually like Anakin from the movies? Or do you guys think he's actually Anakin from
they're from one and the same in their minds.
And anyway, so that's my big thought. And then like afterwards when the actor that played Palpatine, I can't think of it.
Ian McDermott.
Thank you. When he came out and they did his thing again, I was like, didn't they do this at the last celebration? And so on. But then it was just me kind of being like overcritical, and then I realized, you know what? Shut up, Manny. There's some people who this is their only time in their life that they're gonna be able to get to do something like this.
Yeah.
let everybody have fun.
Take the fun away. Destroy.
No.
Smash the.
No, it. You know, you know. Everyone has their own cup of tea, and I'm just happy that everyone gets to enjoy their own fandom. Hell, I think one day, like I'll dress up as a Jedi just for the hell of it, or a Sith maybe.
Yeah.
And have some fun with it. but since we're talking about Disney, in trouble, I think that can take us over to the box office numbers because of a little film from Illumination about two plumbers.
Fun movie. It was. It was a very fun from solid B from me, and it's got a like 90 some odd percent approval rate from the audience on Rotten Tomatoes. The critic score, on the other hand, they aren't so fond of it.
I don't understand what critics want out of this movie. This is literally a Minions movie. It's not meant to be an Oscar winning movie.
Yeah.
It's meant to be a super Mario movie with a bunch of Easter eggs.
One of the problems is, and it's something that really exists, and I don't know how much it plays into individual reviews, but one of the problems is people hate Chris Pratt, and they hate that he makes money. You know, he makes movies money. They hate that he doesn't actually have anything truly controversial. There's just some tangent thing, you know, some offshoot things that touch his world sphere that they don't like. And I honestly think that plays into a lot of people when they dislike things. Because this was not the perfect film, but man, it was not bad, guys. This was solid. There's things I would have preferred to have seen fleshed out a little bit, but overall, man, I could watch this. It's not a Sonic the Hedgehog, but it didn't need to be Sonic the Hedgehog. It needed to be Super Mario Brothers. Kind of felt like Super Mario Brothers to me.
Yeah, I think my only complaint with it was I think the pacing in the beginning was a bit slow, and then it just compared to the second half where it just just went crazy. But to the point where I was like, oh, how long is this movie? Because it feels like we're going to be here for a while.
Then you're not.
But
90-minute movie, not too bad. 204.
Our theater.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to just say 204 million so far through its first 5 days in the domestic market. 146 million over just the normal 3-day weekend. That's still a big deal, especially when you consider that it had already been in theaters Wednesday and Thursday, and it still brought in $146 million over 3 days, the 3-day weekend. That's insane, Manny, when you think about it.
Yeah, the genius of that decision to release it on a Wednesday during spring break.
Yeah.
Is definitely worth, I would say, an additional bump in their gross revenue, because that theater was so packed on Wednesday when I went to go see it, and that some people had already seen it on Tuesday midnight showing, so they had midnight showings for it.
Yeah.
And then, but you know, all them kids being out, and then through the weekend, I saw so many. Yesterday evening, I saw Air, which was also really good. And the theater was so packed with over overstimulated kids after all the Easter candy, you know, heading over to see Mario Brothers. It just makes me so happy. Like, I mean, it was like entire families together.
Yeah.
Being able to go and watch Super Mario. You know the last time people could do that? Last year with Minions. That's the last time I saw that. So I think the connection with Disney that I was making is that Super Mario Brothers movie, by far will more than likely be in the top five films of the year.
Yeah.
As far as making money. And there is no Disney project that's going to make that money.
Not coming up.
Exactly. This year. So my point is, it's not since 2019's Frozen 2, which the Super Mario Brothers movie beat out as far as an opening weekend, has Disney have the highest grossing animated film.
Damn.
Since then,
a few years.
Since then, Illumination has had it 3 out of the 4 years, and it's been done with sequels. Those 2 other years are not including Super Mario movies. Hence us getting
more Toy Story and Frozen.
last year it was Minions: Rise of Gru, and the year before that, believe it or not, it was Sing 2. Mm. And the year before that, that was 2020. The highest grossing. It was a weird year. The highest grossing animated film was actually the Demon Slayer movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then 2019, you go back and that's Frozen 2. And in that meantime, their Pixar movies went straight to streaming. Soul and Red, the Red Panda movie. I can't remember what it was called.
Turning Red.
Thank you. And Onward did come out and actually didn't do that well at the box office, but I think it was a dual release. Right before the pandemic. And then last year you had Lightyear, you had Strange World. I mean, I don't know. So I think that alone just had me going. Is Disney just like riding the coattails of their legacy these last few years? Because
they
don't really think
they were trying to just ride Marvel and Star Wars the last few years. Fuck,
but
you know, screw
that. It almost feels like. It almost feels like we already did all this stuff. Like we're just putting stuff out at this point.
Yeah.
And I'm glad Bob Iger's back because I think he realizes that.
Let's not forget the Bob Iger was the one that ruined Star Wars by basically doing the same thing to Star Wars that Chapek did to Marvel by wanting too much too fast. Because that whole one Star Wars thing a year. No, we won't delay the rise of Skywalker. That was Iger. So I got that there were some really good things under him for other aspects, but as far as Star Wars is concerned, and even Marvel, I'm still
Right now, you and I have talked about how terrible Marvel is right now. The next movie besides Guardian 3, which should be fun, is the Marvels.
And I don't care.
Nobody cares about the Marvels.
I don't care. I'm not against it. I'm not hating on it. And I'll, when it gets close to it coming out, I'll be saying, I hope everyone that wants to see it does see it.
Yeah.
And that it gets, and that it makes money for theaters and the people involved. Yeah. But
it's just, it just, in general, what has Disney done lately that you can say is, you know, peak animation or cinema? But I mean, Black Panther Wakanda Forever was really good. And then you have, I mean, what, like ever since Disney Plus, man, they have struggled in general to find good balance if you think about it. And it makes me sad because, you know, what I would want them to do is to go back to making a film like Princess and the Frog or
like traditional,
like fine. Like, so animation. That's kind of what I'm excited about Elemental, because it feels a little bit more Pixar traditional. And I'm like, okay, so we're kind of going back to basics. We're not trying to do Lightyear again.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, what are they going to do now? Live action Moana. It's like, nobody asked for that. and you know what's funny is that Disney fans didn't Like, we're immediately like, we didn't ask for that. Nobody wants the Rock coming. Right now, the Rock. So did you see, like, okay, this is what's great. This is what I do appreciate right now about moviegoers and audiences is that I'm recognizing that either there people are just fed up with kind of the way movies are, and they're starting to speak out because The Rock made that announcement and everyone's like, nobody wants you right now.
No,
bro.
Nobody right now.
I like, absolutely, you're going to ruin this movie because it's going to be all about Maui and not about Moana.
Yeah.
And so kudos to everybody who voiced their opinion on that. And I don't know. It's just a really weird time. Other than that, I mean, I don't know. Air, I saw it yesterday. That's another Amazon movie, man. Their partner, they own it, but they're working the way they're working with MGM and being able to put films out in cinema and then bring them over to Prime.
Yeah.
And expand them if need be. Amazon figured it out. And I think Netflix is getting there also with the way they're starting to release things like Glass Onion and things like that. And I think that I think what's the most important thing that we get out of this is that even streaming services recognize the value of theaters.
Yeah.
And that's something that we can be happy about.
Before we get off of box office numbers, though, I was wondering what you thought Mario's Super Mario Brothers movie will take domestically and worldwide. It's sitting at 204 right now, so I'm actually guessing about a 500 million domestic take is potentially possible, and I think this might become the highest grossing animated film of all time, with about 1.6 billion worldwide is my estimation, which would put it above the 1.4 something that Frozen 1.43 that Frozen 2 had made. So what do you think domestically and worldwide for Mario?
Domestically, let's go 425.
425?
Yeah. And then internationally, whatever puts it at like 1.2.
At 1.2? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That puts it in the area of Frozen and Incredibles 2. I'm going to be really curious to see how it does in Japan when it opens there on the 28th of
April. Oh, wait, it hasn't opened to Japan?
No.
Crap.
4/28 is when it will open up in
that
Japan.
That movie's going to...
Yeah, right?
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so, yeah.
So let me ask you this. What is Illumination doing right now that Disney's not?
One, they're playing it safe with, you know, established franchises. They're not expanding with new properties right now.
Well, technically Super Mario is an expansion.
No, it's an existing IP. It plays off of some, it's not their IP, but it is an existing IP as opposed to New World. As opposed to even some of the ones released during the pandemic, like Raya, like Luca, things like that, that were more original. The problem with Lightyear, we all already identified that it wasn't a Toy Story movie. Yeah. You know, that's what people wanted. So I think part of it is Illumination doing that, and also I think the other aspect is they're very focused on just making fun movies for families, while Disney is in the hunt for a layered approach. They want to make a movie that they can call family friendly, but they also want movies that they can tout for one reason or another and try to appeal to I'm trying to word this as politically correct. Look, Disney wants attention for things like inclusivity, while Illumination wants attention for making a movie. And I didn't see Minions. I don't know how much inclusivity there is in it. Mario Brothers has a fairly decent voice cast with people of
not if you ask John Leguizamo.
You know what, dude? Luigi's Italian, man. I'm sorry, John. I like you, dude. Like in a lot of movies, but man, you've got a dude. And I get it, man. There are times that Hispanic roles have been taken from Hispanic people by white people. That's the thing. But man, this Mario one is just a stick up your ass. Get it out.
Yeah, Anya Joy Taylor is Argentinian, by the way. She speaks Spanish. She is from Argentina. She was born, but she was raised in Miami.
Yeah.
And then the guy from King, I forget his name off the top of my head. He's African American.
Keegan Michael Key playing Toad.
Yep. Plays Toad.
Yep.
I'm like, dude, I really like John Leguizamo, but this one was kind of like, yeah. Are you just mad because they didn't call you, like,
dude? What? He, like I said. There's things that he's pointed out in the past. I'm like, yes, John, you're right. That was some bullshit. This is one where it's just like, dude, come on now, man.
Yeah. Okay. Good. I'm not crazy. Either. Yeah. So just, it just seems like they've, and then also like they seem to be doing really well in partnering with their, theme parks. Like Universal has been doing such a good job at like, keeping Minion rides and Super Pets, or not Super Pets, just Life of Pets or whatever it's called.
Yeah, Secret and, Life of Pets, I think.
Secret Life of Pets, and then like now they have Super Mario World, and like that's easy to expand, very easy to expand.
One in Florida is getting the Donkey Kong stuff as well. So
I'm pretty sure you. So I think one of my biggest problems with Super Mario Brothers, and this is just the problem I have with an animated film, current animated films in general, is that they'd rather give the parts to big names rather than people who will voice the characters, right? And I think there was no bigger example than Seth Rogen saying that he wouldn't do any other voice than his own for Donkey Kong. And I'm like, yeah, like whatever.
Seth Rogen's not really an actor. Seth Rogen is just Seth Rogen in everything he does, whether it's a personal appearance, whether it's an interview, a podcast, a voice role, a movie role.
Yeah, I agree with you.
He is just the exact same in anything. I don't know if he knows how to act.
I agree with
but you. I didn't hate him in this movie at all. It was fine.
No, it was fine. Like it was fine, but I do kind of get kind of like, well, maybe it's because I've talked to so many of them and I know a few of them. So like to see that it's always going to go to like some like random actor just for a namesake. And it could be why like your budget is so crazy. It's like if you just hire voice actors, maybe you don't have to pay so much.
Dude, the budget for this is apparently around $100 million. And that is insane. Yeah, about a hundred million dollars. Holy crap. I thought it was gonna be more like 121, 130.
That's what I thought too.
It is a ridiculously profitable movie.
Animated films usually are, yeah.
I mean, it's already, you know, sitting at 377 worldwide and it hasn't even hit Japan. This movie's gonna blow up in Mario's home world. I really feel it's going to do well. It might not necessarily be loved, but everyone's going to go see it at least once. We'll see how well received it is, but it's going to do well. It's going to make money.
It already is doing well. I mean, if it stopped making money today, yeah, it did well.
and you still got places that are on spring break all week long. So
you know, there's people that are going to watch that movie over and over again. And then
Christine missed it. I actually want her to go see it. Dude, I've never seen my son has never paid so much attention to a movie. None. And I mean, we take Marvel's, Star Wars, other family friendly cartoon stuff like the Sonic and whatnot. Never has he literally sat and watched an entire movie. I didn't have to. Dude, I was so proud of him.
Nice.
It was fun. It was fun. So. Yeah.
And it has just that wide appeal, so it's gonna do great. And then it doesn't help, I mean that in a sarcastic way, it doesn't hurt, that's what I meant to say, that Jack Black Jack Black. Wow. Okay. It's just not working this morning. It doesn't hurt the film that Jack Black made that banger with Peaches.
They should have done that song with more exposition for why he's infatuated. A little bit of backstory.
That was my
biggest complaint was she. Peach way too quickly agrees to help Mario. There needed to be a little bit more something.
And
there.
I never in the video games questioned it either. So,
that's why I said I'm not really holding it against it. But it's those little things that kind of felt a little jarring in a narrative sense, to where you want a little bit more fleshing out and a little bit more backstory. Not a lot. Jammer wanted to add like 30 minutes to this. And I was like, no, you cut some
Jammer
of the...
Jammer wanted it to be The Last Jedi.
Yeah, you cut some of the establishing shots. And because there's like three really long tours through different worlds, which is fun. But if you trimmed some of that and used the song for exposition, you could actually keep the runtime down. And create just a little bit smoother narrative. But like I said, it's a B from me, man. It was good, solid fun. I actually do want to see it again. So yeah,
that's what I gave it. It's just a good old B. Cause I mean, like as the problem, I think, with some critics is that you turn into too much of a critic for a movie from Illumination.
That or they hate a person.
And it's like, which means that, you know, so there's going to be DC films in the future they're going to hate because Chris Pratt is hands down
going to be in something.
Because they've already asked him what role that he would want to play. Probably. And he said, whatever James Gunn thinks I'd be the best at. And I was like, you should probably cast him as Booster Gold.
That would be funny, I guess. I'll take your word
Chris Pratt and Solo in the same movie.
That would be funny.
That'd be fun.
I could see that being fun. It's too bad dude that plays Johnny is too old probably for Booster. Is he too old for Booster Gold? Because just more Johnny Frack Miguel would be great. Anyways, that's what Cobra Kai is for. Can't wait for the
I mean, I don't know if they've already cast him for this movie, but that'd be cool if he played Cord.
No idea who that is.
The original Beetle.
Cord. That would be kind of like a nice little wink and nod. I'd be down with something like that.
Well, the thing is, and we see it often now, like with the Stranger Things kids, where now you put them kind of in other roles, kind of some off together, some and then not, and then there's enough of that audience that Netflix has built with them, and that kids have grown up with, that you recognize them and you want to see them now as kind of older kids.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just the next generation of stars. It's really what it is. I mean, we're just getting old.
We are indeed getting old, as well as this episode is getting old, ladies and gentlemen. Do check out all the written news and review stuff you can find at lrmonline.com. Written articles, news aggregation, opinion pieces, celebrity interviews from the LRM YouTube channel. If you like what you watched, check out more here on the Genreverse YouTube channel. If it's not a reaction video like our AVR Squared or Genre Shot trailer reactions, it'll go up in podcast form on all your favorite podcast apps like Google and Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, and more. Manny, any final words? Final words? Ha, yes, before you are exit. No. Any other words for the audience?
Star Trek's better than Star Wars.
For right now, that's a real possibility. Bye, guys.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.